Very good morning to you. The chairman, Elder Seow, has read to us from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and this will be our text this morning. Now, let me reiterate the church theme for the English congregation this year. It is growing together in grace. Of course, what you see over here, the banner, is a general theme. And it has been there for the past over years. But I've decided each year that for the English congregation, we have a sub-theme. And this year, we have decided on the theme, Growing Together in Grace. We decided to use the epistles of Peter for our Sunday messages. The reason is the homily ends with these words. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the church to grow corporately, we, every member of the church, must seek to grow in the Lord. I use the word grace for every topic. The reason is, we know it is not easy to grow in the various areas of our Christian life. Take this morning's topic as an example. Submit to your husband. Wives would know that it is easier said than done. And more so for wives who have unbelieving husbands. Peter was specific when he said in verse 1, Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, Now, we know it is challenging. I want to say this to all husbands. Make it easy for your wives to obey you. Husbands, we must love our wives. Be kind, tender-hearted towards them. That's why verse 7 says, Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. To our sisters in Christ who are wives, I want to say this, that it is possible to be submissive to your husbands. May the Lord bless you with His grace. Now, I want you to note some things before we look at what submission is. Number one, we want to look at the conjunction likewise in verse 1. It tells us that this verse, which calls wives to submit to the husbands, is linked to the previous verses. If you look at chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, let me read to you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. We have a duty to submit to every human institution. And here in particular, the government of the country. Then in chapter 2, verse 18, Peter writes, Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now the Greek word for servants has particular reference to household servants. Peter is addressing the domestic helpers and he admonishes them to be submissive to their masters with all fear. Now, the word fear means respect. Apostle Peter adds this statement, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now, what is a froward master? They are overbearing. They are difficult employers. The instruction is explicit. Servants, are to submit to all kinds of masters. Now, I know that we have some brethren here who are working as domestic helpers. They will tell us that it is not easy to submit all the time. Finally, in chapter 3, verses 18 to 12, Peter tells the whole church to have unity. Let me read from verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of the one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Just these two verses will do. Now you notice in verse 8, we are told to be of one mind. In other words, we are to be united. And how do we unite ourselves in the church? Peter says, by having compassion, that is showing of sympathy one to another. There should be love. That's why the Bible commands us to love one another. That we should be showing of pity. Our translation there is pitiful. But we know that the idea given to us is that we should show pity. We should be courteous, tender-hearted. We should have the spirit of humility. And Peter adds, not rendering evil for evil or railing for evil. In summary, these verses tell us to submit to each other and serve each other. Now, if you study the epistles of the apostles very carefully, you'll see the term one another appeared many times. Now, I know that the fellowship group in Bukit Panjang had this theme, one another, I think for the last year. And they realized that there are so many of them. You know, and that is the admonition that God's word gives to us, that we should love one another, we should be serving one another, we should be kind to one another, and that should be the way. So the first thing to note is each of the call to submission is a part of a larger call for submission from all Christians. Okay? You see that the call for wives to submit to the husband, right? But prior to this call, you notice in chapter 2, you have the various call, subject to government or higher authority, subject to your masters. And then after talking about wives submitting to husband, you notice that in chapter 3, verse 8, almost to the end of chapter 3, you have quite a lengthy exposition on that subject of that we should learn to be kind to one another. Now, I want you to see that the matter is presented in a clearer manner in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you study the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, Paul speaks of the relationship between various groups of people. Okay, the verses from chapter 5:22 to 33, the Apostle Peter says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit to your husband. Very much the same as what Peter has said. And then he says, children, obey your parents, and servant, be obedient to your masters. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, before he gives instruction to these various groups of people, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Please turn to Ephesians 5, 21. And the verse says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Peter, writing to the church in Ephesus, tells them to be in submission to wives to the husband, children to their parents, right? Servants to their masters. And before that, in verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, do you know that verse 21 is the key to all relationships and the key to all forms of submission? And that is the biblical teaching. Without that mutual respect and submission one to another, wives, you'll find it very difficult to submit to your husband. And husband, you'll find that you will not give your wives an easy way to submit to you. And I want you to note, Paul says that the mutual submission is possible when there is fear of God. So the fear of God must be the controlling factor of all submission. Without that, you find it difficult to submit to anybody. And we have said earlier on that the word fear means reverence. A point to note out of this passage of scripture is this, that our spiritual condition is an important matter. If we are spiritually out of tune with God, our relationship with our fellow man breaks down. I'll explain on this point later. Now, the second thing I want you to note is this. Look at the word own. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, this phrase is repeated in verse 5. The idea here is wives have a unique submission to their own husband that is not fitting in relationship to other men. Wives are not called to submit to all men the way they do to their own husbands. In today's society, many wives are taking on full-time jobs, and many of them hold high positions in their employment. They have men under their command, they instruct, and men carry out their orders. Now, if you are a wife of this caliber, remember, when you return home, you are to submit to your own husband. Some marriages fall apart simply because the wives are not willing to condescend and bring themselves down under the leadership of their husbands. If you want to remain as boss, both in the company and at home, the marriage bounds to have problems. There was once a lady who came to see me about her husband. She complained that her husband would not lead and cannot lead the house. Thus, the duty of leading the family falls on her. True, there are men who do not want to lead their family. Now listen up, Christian men. The Word of God tells us to lead. You are the head of the household. Therefore, you are to lead. If you are not taking the leading role, you are not obeying God's word. You remember I said earlier on that oftentimes our spiritual problems causes the breakdown in spousal relationship. Men, you may not be a CEO in a company, but you have the mandate from God to lead the family. Wives, you may be a CEO, but you are told by God's word to submit to your husbands. Now, if we do not keep this perspective right, we will surely have problems in the family. That's the third thing that I want you to note. Wives are told to submit to their husbands even if they are not believers. Now, I want to say to Christians who are single that you should not find unbelieving life partners. The Bible is clear in its teaching on this matter. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who choose to marry unbelievers. Understand that there are more sisters than brothers in the church. So how are the ladies going to find their mates? I must admit that this is a tricky issue. And I do not have the solution to this problem. But I want you to remember that our God is all wise. He is all powerful. And the Bible tells us to pray. When we ask for it, and it is His will to give it to you, you will find your life partner. And if it is God's will for you to be married, He will bring the partner to you. Now, I've said this many a times to young people who are looking for life partners. When God in His divine plan has willed a person to be your life partner, that person will never be taken away. Some young people today think that they should choke first. You know, choke first. Lest the ideal person is taken away. Some young people are concerned. Now you do not have to choke a life partner. What God has given you, I want to tell you this, that no one can take it away. But my brethren, it is not God's will for you to marry someone unsafe. People who have studied on church growth have noted a trend that is of significance, and I'm speaking of the trend in Singapore. In the last 30 to 40 years, more mothers believe in Jesus than fathers. Notice that? Okay, you look at our Chinese congregation, right? Many of them are mothers, okay? And they have husbands who are unsafe. For my case, my mother-in-law was saved first, and then my father-in-law came to know the Lord very much later. In fact, it took him 20 years after my mother-in-law was saved. So in principle, my mother-in-law has an unbelieving husband for those years. Okay. Until she came to trust the Lord in the year 2010. The admonition of the Apostle Peter to wives who have unbelieving husbands, it's clear. Submit to your own husband. I know you have a paternal questions. Can I submit to an unbelieving man who wants me to do something that is against my faith and conscience? Now, this is a tough question. I hope to answer this question later on. Next, we want to see the wrong ideas of submission, or what submission is not. I know you wives have this difficulty, how to submit to your husband's unreasonable request. A wife asked her pastor a question. What can I do when my husband wants me to buy 4D? You know what 4D is? Yeah, you know. Lottery ticket. The Apostle Peter sets the record right for our sisters. And he wants husbands to pay attention to this matter. Be reasonable to your wives. Then they will submit to you willingly. So what submission is, firstly, or what submission is not? We'll look at the negative. What submission is not? Submission does not mean agreeing with everything your husband says. Now, verse 1 establishes this point for us. The wife is a believer and the husband is not. They both have different belief. They cannot agree to one basic and fundamental truth, that is the belief in God. When Peter wrote this epistle, he is well aware that the wife will not submit to her husband's view of God. If he wants the wife to submit to her husband in a matter of faith, then it is tantamount to asking her to betray her Lord and her faith. Now, Peter is telling the wife to be faithful to the Lord. Next, I want you to look at the phrase, if any obey not the truth, or obey not the word. Now, it tells us of the husband's willful rejection of the word preached to them. In other words, the unsaved husband heard the gospel, but in their will, they choose to obey not or to reject it. He's not ignorant of the gospel, but he choose not to obey it. The choice between God and false belief is a clear-cut one. We ought to obey God rather than man. The high priest forbid the apostles to preach Jesus Christ. They reply in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. Sometimes ago, I read in the newspaper about a woman who embezzled the money belonging to the company she worked for. She did it for her husband. When handing down a jail sentence on her, the judge chided her for her foolishness in committing a criminal act because she was coerced by the man she claimed to love. Now remember, wives, you do not have to agree with everything your husband says. You choose to obey a higher law when you refuse to do that which is wrong, or the wrong things. In one of the church I serve in, a Christian lady was prevented from going to church by her husband. But she spoke to her husband very gently, saying this, I will submit to you in all things that are right. You forbid me to go to church, and that is not right. I cannot agree. I hope you can respect my religious belief. Till this day, her husband has never charged her for not being submissive. Now, this sister has always been a wonderful wife to her husband and a mother to her children. I remember speaking to one of her children, and this is what one of the daughters say of her mother. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. You see, she stood firm when it comes to her faith. But when talking to her husband, she was very gentle, but very straight. Secondly, submission does not mean avoiding every effort to change her husband. Look at verse 1 again. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that as any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The text tells the wife to win her husband to the Lord. Now, wives, you have a duty to win your unbelieving husband to the Lord by your chaste or modest conduct. Now, if you didn't care about the biblical context, then you might say submission has to mean taking a husband the way he is and not trying to change him. Submission, paradoxically, is the strategy for changing the husband. But the goal of this text in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is to help wives bring about a profound change in their husbands. The transformation from being a spiritually dead unbeliever to a spiritually alive believer. This is the desire and the aim of every Christian wife. Her husband was a chain smoker. That is, he puffed one stick of cigarette after another. The Christian wife finds this habit of the husband of concern, in particular when he smokes at home. He told her husband about her concern for him, that's for his health, and for the health of the family. Now today we know that inhaling secondary smoke can be as harmful as the smoker. She works out a plan and gently spoke to her husband about it. Initially, the husband was very displeased by the wife's suggestion to smoke outside the house. She prayed without ceasing for him. Eventually, this man became a believer and quitted smoking altogether. So, you see, your submission can bring about a change. But remember, your submission does not tantamount to agreeing with the wrong things that your husband is doing. Thirdly, submission does not mean that a wife gets strength from her husband. You know, sometimes ladies have this thought, now if I'm married and I can be dependent on my husband and he will be my pillar of strength, you know. But remember, Peter is writing to Christian wives who have unbelieving husbands. In other words, he's telling these ladies that you are not going to find spiritual strength from your husband. A good husband should indeed strengthen and build up his wife. He should be a source of strength. Verse 7 says that a wife is a weaker vessel. This is the reason why husband should be a pillar of strength to his wife. Now, the term weaker vessel does not mean that the wife is inferior to or less capable than the husband. It does, however, mean that she's physically weaker than her husband and emotionally more dependent on him. This is the reason why it takes a longer time for a woman to recover from an emotional hurt than a man. So, again, I want to say this to the husbands in this congregation. I want to say this to you. Do not hurt your wife through your careless and unkind word. It destroys her emotionally. Be very sensitive when we are talking to the sisters. Now I'm talking to men in general. Don't hurt them emotionally. Going back to the point on submission, saying that submission does not mean that a wife gets her strength from her husband. The context is the husband is an unbeliever. I said just now that the wife cannot depend on her husband for spiritual strength and also for moral support. In fact, the text of 1 Peter chapter 3 assumes just the opposite. Therefore, the wife is summoned to develop depth and strength and character not from her husband, but for her husband. A Christian is never bereaved of strength because God is her helper. Right? If you have unbelieving spouse, know this, that God is your strength. If you are not finding the pillar of strength from your spouse. Fourthly, submission does not mean that a wife is to act out of fear. Now I want you to note verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid afraid with any amazement. Now, I want you to note that our King James translation, Sarah called Abraham Lord, okay? And it was deliberate when it was translated with a small L, all right? All wise must know that we have a supreme Lord with a capital L, okay? So husbands, you are not the capital L Lord, all right? The word amazement means fear. There should never be fear in a marriage relationship. A wife should not be coerced to submit to her husband. Her submission should come from a free spirit. She submits to her husband lovingly, willingly, whether her husband is a believer or an unbeliever. The husband should not make his wife a slave. The Bible says that she is co-heir in the kingdom of God. Quite unfortunately, we have cases of Christian husbands who tortured their wives mentally and emotionally so as to make them submissive. Now, this is wrong. It is criminal. And it is also scripturally wrong. John Piper mentioned this incident in one of his sermons. And I thought it is a good illustration. He says this, "I sat in my office once when a husband who believed that submission meant his wife should not go from one room to another room without asking his permission." Piper commented, "That kind of pathological distortion makes it easier for people to dispense with texts like this in the Bible. And we find the husband's action ridiculous. But some husbands are actually making unreasonable demands on their wives. And they say, the Bible says, submit." Now that is not right. The next outline I have, I want to share with you the things that make submission easier. I've explained to you the wrong notions of submission. You will expect me to tell you what then are the right ideas of submission. True submission is the opposite of the 4 points I've mentioned earlier on. I hope you got the 4 points, huh? What submission is not. In this section, I want to highlight on those things that make a wise submission easier. I've been married for 25 years. I've seen many marriages that are strong and marriages that are broken. I ask myself, what is the one factor that seals a marriage and keeps it rock solid? In marriage counseling, we talk about couples' commitment to each other. We also talk about the couple's method of communication, how they communicate one with another. We talk about the couple's finances. We talk about the couple's relationship with their parents and their in-laws and many other issues. We think that discussing this issue will help the couple to build a strong marriage relationship. Sadly, we saw many couples' marriages ended on the rock. So what guarantees a lifelong partnership? I believe the spiritual life of each person is the best safeguard. When the husband's spiritual life is right, he will love his wife. When the wife's spiritual life is right, she will submit to her husband. Unfortunately, many couples do not place this matter as top priority in their married lives. We assume everything is all right when we are attending church and are putting our children in the Sunday school. There are many marriages breaking apart despite the couples going to church. So what is the problem? The husband or the wife has not been careful in keeping their inner lives. We are not dealing with sin in our lives. I want all of us to take note of a verse in the Song of Solomon. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, Solomon says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Okay, you have these foxes that go to the vineyard, and there are those tender vines where there are tender grapes, and these foxes will come, they'll run around, they will destroy the vineyard and eventually kill the vine. I think there's a spiritual lesson here. We have to be careful of little sin, if there's such thing as little sin. Okay, I know some of us would define sin as sin, and there's no such thing as little sin. Okay, but I want every one of us to take note of this. Beware of sin in our life. Even if you think that there is a little sin, because little foxes spoil the vine. They slowly eat up our spiritual life. The Apostle Peter draws a portrait of a powerful woman. She is a spiritual wife. In the text, 1 Peter chapter 3, he tells us why this woman is a powerful woman. Number one, her conduct is chaste and is coupled with fear. I said earlier on, the word chaste conversation means a pure, a modest conduct. A spiritual wife is careful with her conduct. Her manner of life is modest, pure, and without reproof. This chaste conduct is coupled with respect for her husband and above all, for God. A good wife will not criticize her husband behind his back. She does not talk bad about him. She honors him. If a wife is used to making degrading remarks about her husband to her friends, she cannot submit to him in liberty. So ladies, do not gossip about others. How can your husbands be sure that you are not talking bad about him? But I must say the same thing to all men. All right? Be not talking bad about your wives behind them. Secondly, a spiritual wife focuses on internal beauty or adornment. Verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of a great price." Now, what is the main idea in these verses? The teaching is women should not focus on the outward adorning of herself with the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of jewelry. Instead, she should focus on the beauty that is inward. In other words, Peter is saying, develop your inner man. Now, this is the important part of us. I want you to take note of this point. Peter is not against the wearing of jewelry and the styling of your hair. Okay, but do it moderately. Eh? If he did, then he should be against the putting on of apparel. Now, you look at verse 3 here. He says wearing of gold or putting off apparel. Now, if he is against wearing jewelry or the plaiting of the hair altogether, okay, then the last phrase there, putting on apparel, that means you don't put on any clothing. Now, you know that Peter is not talking about the matter in its true literal sense. He's talking about the outward man and the inward man. And he's saying, you decide which one is more important. You understand? Yes. Now, if we take so much care about the outward and care not of the inward, then it's going to be destructive. Care more for the inward. Okay? And when you take care of the inward, the outward and the inward beauty will come forth very naturally. In verse 4, he tells us what the spirit of the inner man is. He says, a meek and a quiet spirit. Now, the word meek can be translated as gentle. Okay, wise, you should have a gentle and a quiet spirit. Someone says that the word meekness means not quarrelsome. I agree with his comment. Because such woman does, if a woman who is quarrelsome does not possess the sweet, gentle, and a quiet spirit. Okay? But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you cannot speak the truth. Okay? You have to speak what is right. Okay. I trust you understand what Peter is emphasizing here. He's saying, develop that inner man of a meek and a quiet spirit. So ladies, cultivate the inner beauty of your life. Thirdly, a godly wife trusts in the Lord. Verses 5 and 6 says, for after this manner in old time, the holy woman also who trusted in God. See that? A godly wife trusts in God. She knows the Bible. She knows the theology on the sovereignty of God. She knows his promise that he will be her help, no matter what she faces. And we can see from here that a woman of faith and confidence in God finds herself submitting to her husband an easy matter. I want to reiterate a point. Submission does not follow a husband into sin. We should be firm with husbands who are sinning, with the intention of winning them to the Lord. Someone say, love is blind. But I want to tell you, submission cannot be blind. A godly wife has no fear. Verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, are not afraid with any amazement. Now the word amazement there means alarm, to cause to be alarm, or to fear. A godly woman knows why she suffers. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, Peter says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not fearful. The word, our translation is the word afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Okay, what I'm trying to tell you is the word that afraid is the same word as the word fear. Do not be fearful. Alright? So a godly woman is one who does not fear. Why? Not because she's a superwoman, but rather that she's one who holds on to the promises of God. So you see, these are the characteristics of a godly wife. And if you have this characteristic in your life, when you are spiritually built up, I believe it will strengthen your relationship with your spouse. It will help you to obey your husband, and you'll find it easy to do so. In summary, submission is the divine calling of a wife. calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Though sometimes she cannot agree with her husband's plan, she will always approach her husband in a gentle and loving manner. Okay. I want to conclude this. The message today is not just for the wives. Because verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, given honor unto the wife as unto weaker vessel, as has been heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Christian man, be gentle, be patient, be kind, be loving to your wives. Honor her, and I'm sure she will honor you. What about the rest of us, or the rest of you who are neither husbands nor wives? Is there a message for you? Now, I want to say this. I said earlier on that the best safeguard for strengthening a relationship is a good spiritual life. Okay? And I'm not talking about spousal relationship only. I'm talking about all relationship, be it children and parents, parents and children, all right? Wives and daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws, you know? You and your boss and colleagues, the only way for us to have a sound biblical relationship is when you develop your spiritual life. See, that's why you should be very concerned with your life, your inner man. You throw that away, there is no guarantee in any relationship. More so, in a marriage relationship. May God help us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the clear instruction from your word that wives are to submit to their husbands and husbands are to love their wife. And we also have learned from your word, Lord, the importance of developing our spiritual life, that it must be healthy, strong, so that we can strengthen the marriage bond. Lord, help your people, help us, that we will take particular care of our own spiritual life. Lord, I pray that there will be desire to grow, a desire to obey you. Bless, O God, your people. I pray for the families that are represented here. May you strengthen their relationship. They will love one another. They will do their utmost best to honor you in their family life. Hear these our prayers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.